Like, you know, it's possible. It's very, very possible. And, you know, I find that now may not just be boring, but the coffee seems to wear off right about now if you had it, or it's cold, so it may not have the same impact. So all I know is, all I ask of you, if I am getting boring, or the coffee's wearing off, is that actually you just pray for me. It's amazing what God can do when you pray. And I find it interesting when I'm sitting and I'm watching, and I'm watching people lead us, or maybe people are up here for the first time, which I personally love, because then you get to see people experience the power and presence of God for themselves. But I find that not everything goes the way you hope it would go. And so sometimes when I'm sitting down, I'm like, oh, I'm worrying, or I'm negative. And actually, I know God calls us to pray for that person up there. So when I say that tongue-in-cheek, I also mean that very seriously. Because we're all here, this is worship, and it's to honor God. And so I thank the music team for leading us so far, and for everyone else who has been a part of it. God has something amazing for us today. And if you haven't discovered that yet, you will. And maybe you have, and I hope you have. And I hope that God has told you this morning how much he cares for you. And I hope God tells you this morning how much he wants you to be with him and experience him, because he does. And as we get into that, it's always good to pray. So let's pray together. Heavenly Father, gracious Lord, thank you for being here. We may not always recognize it, and we may not even always want it, but you tell us that you are, and we thank you because you know our hearts. You know what we need. You know what's challenging us. And Father, even though we all here might be at a different level, a different age, different things going on in our lives, different challenges, different joys, you know all those pieces. And you want to speak into our lives and remind us that the joys come from you. And remind us that you have the challenges in your hand and you'll take care of us. And so, Lord, wherever we're at this point in time today, you know that. And we need you to lift us up and give us hope. So give us hope today. Give our community hope today. Give Abbotsford, give our world hope today. And we know we can have that in the name of Jesus Christ, who died for us, who lives for us, who is our hope. Grant us a glimpse more of him, of you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So you have the title I put on the screen there. And that's what basically we're going to talk about today. And that's actually what the book of James essentially talks about. And when Pastor Kyle gave me this passage, I'm like, what? And as we go through it, you may join me in the what? Or you might just pray. What does this symbol mean? Caution? Yeah, it means warning. So wherever you see this symbol, you're supposed to kind of say, whoa, I got to think about something. Something's going to go on. I got to stop and pause. So, that's what today is about. We're going to get warnings today that God gives to us, that we need to heed, that we need to see how does it fit in this relationship that Jesus has with us. And so we're going to look at a few. Warnings come in signs, but they also come in different places where we go. They come with clothing. They come with instructions. They come all sorts of places. So I have a few here for you, and maybe you've seen them. And just remember, as we're looking at some of these warnings, they came because somebody did something or didn't do something. Okay, here we go. Not intended for highway use. I don't know if you can see the little piece down below. It says a wheelbarrow. This product is not intended for use as a dental drill. A carpenter's drill. You gotta wonder a little bit here. All right, they're going to get better. Avoid pouring on crotch area. First of all, nothing should be poured on the crotch area. But it says a cup of coffee. So you wonder why they have to put these things in there. All right. How about this one? May cause drowsiness. Use with care when operating a car. How many of you have taken dog medicine before operating a car? How many of you have taken dog medicine? No, don't answer that. This one I kind of like. Do not iron while wearing a shirt. Huh. Interesting. How about this one? Do not use while sleeping. A hair dryer. Now, white noise? You know, it's possible. Maybe some of you would like to white noise and warm white noise. Safety goggles recommended. A letter opener. Yeah, maybe not the person you want to hire to take care of all your stationary stuff. And how about this last one? I like this last one. Remove child before folding in a baby stroller. Although, how many times, those of you who have had baby strollers, has your baby stroller collapsed or been close or... Warnings. What matters most to us? How often do we pay attention to warnings? How often do we heed them? God is going to give us a few warnings and today, and what we have to wrestle with is, what are we going to do with them? James chapter 5, verse 1 to 6. Here we go. Look here, you rich people. Weep and groan with anguish because of all the terrible troubles ahead of you. Your wealth is rotting away, and your fine clothes are moth-eaten rags. Your gold and your silver are corroded. The very wealth you are counting on will eat away at your flesh like fire. This corroded treasure you have hoarded will testify against you on the day of judgment. Now, remember as we're reading this, these are actually the very words of God. For listen, hear the cries of the field workers whom you have cheated for their pay. The cries of those who harvest your fields have reached the ears of the Lord of heaven's armies. You have spent your years on earth in luxury, satisfying your every desire. You have fattened yourselves for the day of slaughter. Wow, that's some interesting lines. You have condemned and killed innocent people who do not resist you. So what matters most to me? What matters most to you? First thing God seems to say here is he talks about warning number one and its wealth. Look here, you rich people. Weep and groan with anguish because of the terrible troubles ahead of you. Your wealth is rotting away and your fine clothes are moth-eaten rags. Your gold and silver are corrupted. Your very wealth you were counting on, the very wealth you were counting on will eat away at your flesh like fire. This corroded treasure you have hoarded will testify against you on the day of judgment. Does wealth matter to me most? Does what I treasure matter to me most? Does what I have matter to me most? Does keeping what I have, and he talks about wealth here, he talks about riches, but that's not just what he's covering. That happens to be a topic that mattered in the early church. But does what I have, keeping what I have, matter to me most? James is not saying, God is not saying that we are not to have wealth. And Pastor Kyle has actually said that before in this James series. But what God is saying, what he's asking is that if wealth is the most important thing to us, that's the question he's asking, is what we have matter more than him? James touches on wealth in different categories. You can see it in front of you here. He says, your wealth is rotting away. In other words, you have things that you deeply love, that people deeply love, and they rot. So this could mean food. Does food matter a lot to you? Does what you eat matter? It should. But is it the most important thing? Or maybe he was referring to something like homes, which homes can rot if they're made of certain materials. Do those things matter to you? But he says a second thing. What about fine clothes? Okay, this one might hit some of us. Fine clothes, what you wear. In the first century, fashion was a big deal. What you wore stated who you were. Is it any different today? Does what you wear matter to you? Is it the most important thing? Do you pick your outfits the night before because you have to look a certain way? Or do you pick your outfits the night before because you just want to make sure they're out there and you don't want to miss, or in my case, you want to make sure they kind of match? Don't answer any of that. Does what you wear matter to you? How about the third thing, gold and silver? Does cash, do you like cash? Do you like making money? Now, that's always been a piece of wealth, right? And people here in this patch, they liked money. Does that matter to you? Is that what's most important to you? You know, maybe one of the ways to answer that is, what happens if it's taken away from you? What happens if the clothes are taken away or replaced? I thought I'd be loving towards my wife, and I'd say, you can go into my closet and take anything I have there, and you can get rid of whatever you want to show that it doesn't matter to me. But you know what? Deep down, there are a few things that matter to me, and I hit those. Wow. There's some secrets for you. That's why you make money, so if they do disappear, you can go and buy them again. But being rich had mattered and become the focus for some of the people in the church. And in those churches that James writes to. In fact, so much so, it says here in verse 3 that they counted on it. They loved it. They believed it. They had spent their years on earth in luxury and satisfying their every desire. And this is what it was. They fattened themselves, it says here in verse 5. They fattened themselves. In other words, they couldn't get enough of it. What do we fatten ourselves with? They fed and nourished themselves on it. It consumed them. They stressed about it. They lost sleep over it. They had to have it. What is that in your life? What is that in our lives? It had become the most important thing in their life, so much so that they treated others in a horrible way to get it and keep it. Do you see that here? That's what happened. It mattered so much that they mistreated others to get what they had. So the warning is this: wealth will consume you if you're not careful. Wealth or those things that you go after will consume you. In other words, you will do everything you possibly can to keep them. Even mistreat people. In fact, it says here, they will eat away at your flesh like fire. They will consume you like a fire consumes. Crazy language, but it's true, isn't it? It's true. Second warning here, it says, wealth is unstable. It rots away. Moth eats it. It's corroded. Wealth does not last. In fact, it's interesting here in verse 1, he starts with this sentence. He says, weep and groan with anguish. In other words, become incredibly upset. It should really bother you more than anything else. It should bring you to tears because of all the troubles ahead for those of you who wealth is everything. History tells us that about 10 years after this letter was written in AD 40, AD 50, somewhere in there, that 10 years after this, Rome took over this entire area and took everything. And that may be hard for us to believe, where someone comes in and takes everything. So everything you've earned, they've taken it. That's what Rome did about 10 years after this. So James is being prophetic here. He says, it's not going to last. How many of us have had things taken from us? It's not going to last. Is wealth the most important to me? Do I trust in wealth? I went to school with a fella, and we met in our first year of university. I went in to be a teacher, and first year university, we roomed for about half the year. Then the next year, we roomed together for the entire year, and then he had to go his way, and he couldn't afford to come back to school, and so he went back to Ontario, and I finished, and I graduated. But every year we'd send like a Christmas card and back and forth because we were friends. About 10 years had passed. I graduated, got into my first church as a pastor. I was up in a place called Smithers. And I get this phone call. It's probably like in 2002 or something like that. And it's this fella. And he's like, hey, how you doing? I'm like, good, great. We'd gone back and forth. But we hadn't talked a lot. And he says, hey, I'm coming for a visit. I'm like, what? All right, this guy had no money. Like, he used to sell door-to-door, and we obviously don't do this. He sold encyclopedias door-to-door to make money. You can imagine how successful that was in computer age. But he calls me up and he says, I haven't seen you for a long time. Let's meet. He wanted to be a youth pastor, and we know how much money they make. Where are you, Drew? Yeah. Amen. Amen. Anyways, so he shows up. He flies to Vancouver with his wife, who I've never met. He has 3-4 children, and a newborn is third and fourth were twins, brand new babies. They fly to Vancouver. They, as a couple, drive up to Smithers, and it's a 14-hour drive. They visit for one day, drive down to Vancouver, and fly back home. I'm like, what? Anyways, so maybe you have friends like this. So my buddy Kevin says, hey, Todd, and for the one night, we're out just walking around. He says, Todd, I wanted to ask you a question. I said, what? He says, well, I got a bit of a something I'm working through. I said, oh, okay, what is it? He goes, I just won the lottery. I'm like, what do you mean you just won the lottery? Well, my coworkers and I work for my father-in-law, he did at the time, and they had a little pop shop and nuts and bolts shop. And he says, there's 6 of us, and we just won $20 million. He goes, I've never played the lottery before. I just jumped in because our group was doing it. And I thought, I got $4 million now. I'm like, huh, that's a hard problem. So I said, well, what did you do? He said, well, the day I found out, he said, I didn't know what to do. In fact, it was Saturday when I found out, because that's when the draw was. I looked over at my wife. We both were kind of ecstatic, but we had no idea what to do. We go to church the next Sunday, and you know what the title of the sermon was? How much is enough? He goes, I don't know what to do with it. I felt so guilty. Anyway, so they went to the pastor, and they said, what do we do with this money? And they said, well, pray about it. And what they decided to do is, and again, they paid off, I should say this, they had a young family, had half built a house, so they managed to pay off their house, finished building it. They couldn't barely afford diapers. They had people giving them stuff. And so that was taken care of. And he said, you know what we want to do? He said, Pastor, here's what we're going to do. Anybody that comes to the church that needs something, single mom, having down on their luck, something gets broken, fix a car, whatever, I'll take care of it. He put that money in the bank. And that's what he did with his wealth. What are you doing? What is it that you love the most? You know what money does? Money tells you where your heart's at. That's what it does. What you do with your money says where your heart's at. So where's your heart at today? Whether you have money or you don't have money. Whether you have stuff or you don't have stuff. What is most important to us? What am I doing with my wealth? What am I going to do with my wealth? Is it going to be like Kevin? God blessed him and blessed many through him. Number 2, what matters to us most? First, a warning is wealth. Second is this, people. Do people matter to us? Verse 4, for listen, hear the cries of the field workers whom you have cheated out of their pay. The cries of those who harvest your fields have reached the ears of the lords of the heaven's armies. You have spent your years on earth in luxury and satisfying your every desire. You have fattened yourselves for the day of slaughter. You have condemned and killed innocent people who do not resist you. Do people matter to us? You know, James is he's pretty straightforward. He reminds the church that people do matter. How we treat people matters. It says here, the rich people here cheated people out of their pay. In other words, in that day and age, people lived day to day, and it might be different than we have it today. They didn't get a paycheck at the end of the month. They didn't get a paycheck halfway through the month. They got a paycheck that day. They did their work, they got paid. If they didn't work, you don't get paid. So what happened here, and this is what James is addressing to the church, the people who should know better, who experience the love and forgiveness and grace of Jesus and are supposed to give it out. And what happened that is that they would take part of that paycheck and the owners would, and they'd keep it for themselves and give the little bit left to the person who did all the work. They cheated them. Ever been cheated? Ever been ripped off? Now, think about this for a second. So those who were cheated got less paid than their work deserved, that they were owed, went home. Now, the impact is not only do they get paid day by day, but you buy your groceries day by day. So if you don't get paid, you don't do what? You don't buy groceries. You don't get paid, you don't do what? You don't pay your bills. What happens if you don't pay your bills? What happens if you don't get your groceries? You don't eat, you starve. It impacts you. And that's what was going on here. They were so busy enjoying their wealth, it was all about them, that they didn't really care what happened to the other ones that they were supposed to be responsible to. Is that us? It actually said, you have condemned and killed innocent people. The decisions you make in life matter. They matter to everyone around you, not just you. I think we go on our lives thinking we can do anything we want, and we don't always realize that actually everything we do and don't do matters to the lives of those around us. We've been working on vision for this year, to seeing where God wants us, and it's making a difference in the lives of someone you know. What's the difference that we are making in the lives of someone we know? The warning here was that they got to play judge and jury and decide what was fair, and their decisions destroyed those who worked for them. They got to decide the future of others, even though it was illegal and unethical. You condemned them. In other words, you made a choice for them. You decided on their behalf. Even though they were innocent, you made it this way, and this is the result. And that's the warning here. It's interesting to note, I think, Deuteronomy, God speaks to these situations. The beauty of God and the Word of God, the Bible, is that He actually speaks living truth to us. And He actually shows that He cares for us. And He has these verses in Deuteronomy. He actually talked about this very thing many years ago, which James would have known, and anybody who was around the Jewish history and Jewish people would have known. And he says this: never take advantage of poor and destitute laborers, whether they are fellow Israelites or foreigners living in your town. So anybody, you must pay them their wages each day before sunset, because they are poor and they are counting on it. If you don't, they might cry out to the Lord against you, and it would be counted against you as sin. And what happens in this passage? What are the people doing? It says, the Lord says, they're crying out to me because you haven't paid. Your character is flawed. Your integrity is bad. People matter to God. So people should matter to us. How we treat others matters to God. How we treat others should matter to us. How are you treating people? How are others treating us? In fact, God calls this mistreatment, He calls it a sin. God hates mistreatment. God isn't just going after the rich here. He's going after those of us who care more about our own agenda than we care about and those of us who go after satisfying our own desires, and we hurt people in the process. So the question is, what do we care more about, me or how I treat others? I think this is revealed in how we interact with others, isn't it? Are people just means to an end for us? In other words, to get what we want? Is that who people are for us? Or are people the end? Does anyone ever come to you and just talk about themselves or have something to say about themselves or just can't wait to have you do something for them? And it's like they rush up and they come right before you and bam, you get hit. It's like, whoa, 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 whoa. How many of us love that? No. Or do others come up to you and want to know all about you before they say anything about themselves? How many of us need that? The question is maybe another question is how many of us do that? How many of us pause? Again, it's a warning, right? Stop. People matter to God. People should matter to you and how we treat people. One of the responsibilities I have in as a job is I serve your church, I serve other churches in our fellowship. We have just under 100. And in any things they need, leadership development, challenges, all those kinds of things. And this day, there is a gentleman, a pastor from Myanmar, or Burma, if you know where that is. His name is Winston, and he's on his way to Burma. He actually left yesterday. And the reason he's going over to Burma is because his church, he's actually Burmese, and he's from there. And by the way, any of you that have come from other nations or other cultures or other areas, like, and you go to make a better life, you go to lead your family, you go to provide, like, kudos to you. Way to take a risk. That's not easy. And so Winston is going back, and he's gone back and forth to Burma because he has family there. His wife's family is there. And in fact, his wife's family lives in a refugee camp, meaning you really don't have anything. Nothing belongs to you. Everything you had is gone, okay? That's what happens to refugees. In fact, you're taken out of your place, and you're pushed along, and you're put in these areas if you're lucky. And so he has family that's in a refugee camp. And about 5 years ago, God called him and his church to plant in a refugee camp. And so they did. Winston's brother-in-law is a pastor, and they planted there. Last year, during this time and this planting, they met a family. Actually, they met six families. And these six families lived in an area called a cemetery. Can you imagine for a minute living in a cemetery? What it would be like? Be quiet. What would it be like? Like, their actual home was a cemetery. They slept where people were buried. That's what they had. They didn't have anything else. All they had was taken. This is what they were left with. So they made their homes in a cemetery and built what they could, grabbed what they could, and made little shacks and whatnot. Winston's brother-in-law tells Winston this, and Winston asks and talks to his church. And you know what the church did? They built them homes and bought them property to get out of the cemetery. They loved these people they had never, ever met. Their hearts broke for people they had never, ever met. But today, Winston is flying and landing in the place where he's going to go and visit these six families, their six homes, and the six properties that their church family loved them with. Yay, God! All because they follow Christ. And in response, they sacrificed and bought land and built homes for these families. What is most important to us? Is it us or is it others? Well, our time is almost gone. What matters most to me? Is it wealth? Is it people? Or the last one I see here, is it eternity? Look at that. Interesting. Huh. Verse 3 and 6 say this. We'll leave 6 up for you. I got to find verse 3. Your gold and silver are corroded. The wealth you are counting on will eat away your flesh like fire. The corroded treasure you have hoarded will testify against you on the day of judgment. And then verse 6, it says here, you have spent your years on earth in luxury, satisfying your every desire. You have fattened yourselves for the day of slaughter, of judgment. There will come a day when all we have done and have not done on this earth will be evaluated, and James calls it judgment. In fact, if you read a little further ahead in verse 8 and 9, which I'm not covering, but maybe Kyle is covering next week, so here's a little bit for you. We see that the judge is actually the Lord. So the Lord judges us. There is something about eternity that can put all things into perspective, right? Isn't it? When you know there's a judgment or a comment made, whether it's eternity or whether it's at the end of the week or at the end of the day, if there's a judgment to be made, it puts everything into perspective. What you need to have done, what ought to be done, what should be done, what hasn't been done. And the question is here, does eternity matter to us? Do you care what happens beyond today? Does being judged matter to us? Does the big picture, which comes in when we're judged, I think, matter to us? Does the future help us to make good decisions in the present? It should. Does eternity matter? And maybe they'll catch that a little more next week. Now, with all this said, what is the encouragement here? It's not all about challenge. It's not all about warning. It is a huge part of that. But what encouragement do we have here? It says this, and don't miss it. It comes right in the middle of this passage. Verse 4 says this, "For listen, hear the cries of the field workers whom you have cheated of their pay." And catch this, "The cries of those who harvest your fields have reached the ears of the Lord of heaven's army." The Lord hears us. The Lord hears our cries. The Lord hears us when we can't express because we're too emotionally distraught. The Lord hears. The Lord cares. He's listening. He wants to hear us. He wants to hear you. The Lord loves us. But not only that, I think that's great. But for me, I want to know who cares. And the word for the Lord here, if you pull it apart, it means the one who can do anything that he ever wants to do cares. That's the word actual Lord, L-O-R-D here. The Lord of heaven's armies. In other words, he's in charge of everything. It means he's the owner of everything. It means there's no one greater. It means if he's the one that signs the checks. He's the one that what? Gives you your wealth. He is the one who hears here. He is the one who's the boss here. That is encouragement. We get to live out of that. You know what that means? It means I can give my wealth away responsibly. Because the one who loves me is the one who can replace it. Isn't that crazy? If you knew that someone had everything at their disposal and can give you everything you needed, what would you keep? That's our God. So we ask the question, what matters most to you? Is it the stuff that you get given and gives away, or is it the person who can give it to you? And I would say it's the person who can give it to you. And it comes through Jesus Christ. I'm going to end with this story. I'll give you four pictures up there if you can see them. We have a church in Port Hardy, and about 10 years ago or so, if you've ever been to Port Hardy, it's a town where there's a lot of depression. Like half the buildings are empty. It is really a place that's, the second highest, at least in BC, if not Canada, per capita of drug use, of alcohol use, to deal with all the stuff that goes on in that town. It's at the top end of the island and Vancouver Island. And about 10 years ago, I went with a few others, and we do what's called a consultation, which basically shows a mirror to a church, and they reflect back and say, what do we need? Where is God calling us? What do we need for our community? What do we need as a church? That kind of stuff. And we did a consultation there. And one of the things that came out of the consultation was, we want to reach our community, and we want to have a facility that'll reach our community. And they had an arena, like most small towns, and they had a school gym, like most small towns. But that was it for big areas for people to gather. So they said, we want to build a facility that seats at least 250 people. I go, okay. Because we want to reach our community. We want to serve our community. We want to love our community. So they put this together, and they decided, okay, here we go. Now, that was 8 years ago that they started this. 2 years in, their pastor got very, very sick, young guy, and couldn't pastor anymore. Their leader, their champion to see this, couldn't do that anymore. He had to resign in his prime, which shouldn't happen, but it did. During that time, there was a freak accident where I believe it was the board chairman. His son, little son, was killed in the parking lot at the church because a vehicle backed over it, didn't see him. Stuff happens in life, right? It does. They hadn't had a lead pastor in 7 years. not only that, but they decided to build this facility without any help from the outside, any loans. They were going all on labor. Donated by other people. funds raised by other people. And back in November, I went over to Port Hardy, and I got to witness the building that they built, that they started 8 years ago. You know what's cool about this? And this kind of wraps up some of what we've been talking about today as God is challenging what's most important to us and our people most important to us. There are three churches that were in the area and three hours away down island who spent most of their time coming every week building this building for 7 years. Think about that for a second. Somebody cared enough because the church wanted to impact their community, and they knew that they came every weekend or every second weekend, gave all the money, and they paid and built this building. That doesn't happen today. We don't do that today. We hire somebody. We take loans out to building. This was all God-given, generated by the love of people who cared more about other people than they cared about themselves. They cared more about the goodness of God seen in the community than they cared about themselves. It's possible. Now, none of us wants to take 7 years to do this kind of stuff. And maybe you're in the middle of that. Come on, God, work through this, and I'm tired. I don't want to work 7 years in this. But that story says it's possible. God hears. God cares. God provides. In fact, on that day when we were finishing up, one of the churches took an offering the Sunday before and handed over a check for $25,000, or just under that, to finish the rest of the front of the building. God's amazing. And they did it without a pastor, who we just, by the way, they just hired one a month ago, a lead pastor. God will take care of us. God's got it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father,